You're listening to Higher Ed Social, Episode 9. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Logan. And this week, we talk to Mark Anbinder, Web Communications Manager at Cornell University.
And before you continue listening to this podcast, you might want to grab maybe a bowl of popcorn, something from your kitchen, because you'll be hungry by the end of this episode. Mark is a food enthusiast, and we talk about it a lot.
We talk about slow cookers. And he gives us two great recipes for his pulled pork and chili, both with beer.
Can't go wrong with beer in a recipe. We do go down the higher ed realm, no need to fear. We talk about apps on campus. Logan and Mark both had the opportunity to build apps on their campuses, but really we delve into the difference between what warrants an app and what really can be satisfied with a really good mobile site.
We also talk about having our offices in basements and not having windows. And we also talk about nuclear weapons.
You never know with Higher Ed Social. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, or you can find us on highered.social or on Twitter at HES Podcast. Enjoy episode 9. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Chili. Okay, I'm gonna carry this over to the table so that I'm not sitting quite so awkwardly.
It's probably good. I'm sitting next to a fire because I'm waiting for snow.
Anywhere between 2 and 15 inches. Anywhere
between... like an intentional fire?
Yes, like an intentional fire in my house in a hearth powered by gas. But whatever, it's fake. But it protrudes warmth, and it's cold right now, so I need that.
Wait, is it one of those like you have a remote and it starts a real? Is it a real fire or is it just a fake?
It's an actual. There are actual flames that produce radiative heat. Yes,
so it's a gas fireplace.
It is a gas fireplace. Got it does not have a remote control.
I've seen those.
But it does have fire.
Got it.
So, welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell us a little about yourself for the listeners?
Tell you a little bit about myself for the listeners. I am a writer. I'm a higher ed web person. I do social media, and I like to talk about food. In fact, one of the reasons that I got hired for my current job, which is in marketing and communications for campus life at Cornell University, is that I've been doing restaurant reviews and taking food photos for about 15 years.
Wow.
So talking about food, and one of our customers is Cornell Dining. So talking about food is something that I enjoy doing. And that and the other aspects of journalism that I've been involved with have been helpful.
That's impressive.
Wow.
So you were taking Instagrams of food before there was even Instagram.
Exactly.
Before it was a thing that 13-year-old girls did. Congratulations.
I'm also really into hockey. I follow Cornell hockey around the planet. Actually, not nearly as around the planet as I would like to. I did not follow them to Europe. I have not followed them to Florida.
There's a team in Florida?
There are lots of teams in Florida. There's actually
a college hockey
tournament in Estero, Florida, end of every December, and Cornell participates every year.
Oh, so it's like 14 Northeastern schools and University of Florida?
No, it's just visiting schools. I don't think the University of Florida has a hockey team.
Well, if there was a team, I figured it would be them, but I guess not.
It'd be too cold for them to play hockey.
Well, you said there are hockey teams in Florida, so...
They probably are.
I guess you're not really into hockey as much as I am.
I'm not a collegiate hockey follower, so I wouldn't be able to confirm if there's a Florida team.
We have the Predators, and you can go and drink beer.
Wow. It turns out I also like drinking beer.
Oh.
Beer. Good topic.
In addition to food and hockey, I'm really into dogs. And I've got two adorable pit bulls, one of whom is curled up on the couch looking very lazy, and the other ran away when I tried pointing the laptop camera at him so that I could show him to Jackie and Logan.
Oh, well. I had a cat, and the cat is now gone, and I believe Jackie still has a cat.
Yes, she's here. So, Mark, I've seen all these, like, videos on Facebook of, like, because, of course, they all have to read the same way, so it's like, little girl stands in front of six hungry pit bulls, then something amazing happens, and I never watch them because I don't ever want to be, like, clickbaited that hard in my life, but you own two pit bulls, so you must have some, like, knowledge of the culture. Are pit bulls really that terrifying? Like, I've never met an angry pit bull that wants to eat my face.
Pit bulls, just like any other kind of dog, can be raised badly. There are other breeds of dog that tend to be worse, but most dogs want to be good dogs. Most dogs want to be happy and friendly, and any dog can be mistreated or trained badly or put in a situation where it's going to react badly to stimuli. Generally speaking, as a general rule, pit bulls are cuddly and loyal and lazy. Lazy is actually a really? Big part of pit bull life. You want to sit around on the couch. Pit bulls are very high energy in very small doses. So they want to go out for a nice energetic walk, and then they want to lie down and have a nap.
My God, that sounds like me in dog form. Like
sounds like me in dog form, so I've got absolutely the perfect dogs for my lifestyle.
That's fantastic.
I'm getting out and walking, which is really good for me. It's why I've lost weight over the winter, which is unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like to sit on the couch, and so the dogs are happy to sit on the couch with me and watch TV or whatever.
Yeah, I think my cat is the reason why I haven't lost weight this winter is because cats just sleep. So I just sleep.
Need to get her a little leash.
They make those, by the way. I have one.
She might. I don't know. She likes to sit and look out the window, and she likes to have like the breeze on her face. That's like her thing. So maybe she would enjoy going outside.
And if not, she might shred your face.
She's like so lazy that she doesn't even try that. Like, it's...
You've obviously never tried to put a cat into a harness because...
Can't say I have.
Because they don't like that. They like that about as much as they like getting a bath.
I mean, I struggled pretty hard to get her in a carrier to take her to the vet, so I don't think I'll be trying a harness anytime soon with her. But that was a very stressful day of getting her in the carrier. It was a lot of hissing and meowing. No scratches. I was proud of myself. But I was so stressed out from the whole thing, I ended up missing the time of the appointment because it took so long. But my vet was nice enough to take me. But I was so stressed out that, you know, I got in, you know, she was great, whatever, everything's fine. And I went to cash out and I couldn't find my car keys. And I was like, oh, tell me I locked my car keys in the car. Like, that would just be the icing on the cake for this whole day of getting this cat in the carrier. And I run outside and I was so stressed out that not only did I leave my keys in the car, but I left them in the ignition and I left my car running on the side of the road while I was in the vet. That's and it wasn't brilliant. Stolen. It wasn't stolen. That's like the easiest way to steal a car. Like, it was unlocked and running. Like, I think people probably walked by and were like, nah, like too easy. Like, this has got to be like a bait car.
It must be a trap.
I know, right? So if you ever don't want your car stolen, just leave it running. And
leave it running with the doors unlocked.
No, and the keys in it and, you know.
Just leave it on. Left the lights on. Like, there was no mistaking that this thing was still on. And it was so hot when I opened the door because, of course, the heater was still on. And it was like, oh, my God, it was unbearable.
But pit bulls, despite their current bad rap, pit bulls historically have been thought of as very loyal and friendly dogs. So Petey from the Little Rascals was a pit bull. And you see photos, if you look at historic photos of pit bulls, of little kids, toddlers, and pit bulls. They're very protective, fiercely loyal, and the fiercely part can be dangerous. If a pit bull feels that you are threatened and cares about you, the dog will protect you, and someone else could get hurt.
I had a Doberman like that once.
Yeah. Dobermans are another of those dogs who can be fierce and can cause problems if they're not well-trained and well-behaved, or if they get set off by something.
right? Like Magnum P.I.
Exactly.
Jackie's making a face because she doesn't know who Magnum P.I. is.
I know who Magnum P.I. is. I just never saw any of it. So
who is Magnum P.I.?
He's a detective guy, RoboCop, Inspector Gadget combo, all in one.
Close enough.
Sure.
I have a loose understanding.
I never watched Magnum P.I. either.
But I did.
I kind of enjoyed Tom really? Selleck in Blue Bloods. And it amuses me that they have to add gray to his hair because he's supposed to be a grandfather and his hair is too black.
Life's hard. You know, I think he looks plenty old.
He does, but it helps that they're adding gray to his hair. Now you know.
I suppose. He hasn't lost the stash, though. He hasn't lost the stash.
Would you if you could grow a mustache like that?
Probably sure. not.
It's a nice mustache.
But then again, Alex Trebek's, you know, he shaved his off.
I saw that.
And his was just as iconic as Tom Selleck's.
I'm kind of amused that tonight's Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary special, the skit where they did Jeopardy, Alex Trebek has a mustache again.
Good.
It is
Sunday.
Yeah. It is Sunday. But the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary episode is tonight.
Yes.
And they actually ran the first episode of SNL last night, which I had no idea was happening. And nice. I happened to turn on the TV right at the beginning and got to watch the whole thing live.
Nice. I'll have to watch that. I didn't know that was on either. I'll have to see it.
I'll have to plug into Hulu and watch it later.
Or download the SNL app, which lets you watch a whole bunch of episodes and something like 5,500 clips, says the promo that they just ran earlier tonight.
That's nice. Everything
needs an app. That's the new thing. Everything needs an app. Download the app. Like, I look at my phone and all the apps that I have. It's like, oh, I downloaded it for that one time. Like, I went to Disney and I downloaded the Disney app. But it's like, once I get home, it has no purpose. Didn't really have much when I was down there, to be honest. But, like, I don't know. I feel like everything is on my – I have to be on my phone all the time.
There are things that apps are great for. And being at Disney is probably one of them. Having everything at your fingertips, having everything organized, everything – I mean, especially if they can do it in a context-sensitive way where the app knows where in the park you are and can say, okay, here's what's right around you. That would be very useful. Yeah, one of the conversations that I've had with the folks at Cornell recently centers on whether you need an app for something or whether what you actually need is a website that's going to be effective for mobile users. Mm-hmm. So if someone wants to see what's for lunch this afternoon at each of the different dining halls, they don't necessarily want to fire up an app. They might. So having an app is a good idea. But if someone is on the web, whether they are on their phone or sitting at their desk, on a laptop, on a tablet, you want to be able to present the information to them on the website.
I think that maps are a great use of app technology for the simple fact that you have the GPS and it's easy to wayfind. Campus tours, definitely another great thing to have so that people can go on their own walking tour of campus. I mean, there's a lot of uses that a university can have for an app, but I agree that in most cases, a website would be great. But, you know, for some things like say you have on your app a list of events that are happening on campus, then you can tap that event and then it gives you walking directions from where you are on campus to that event. I mean, that kind of use of a mobile app I think is great, but for general information that you have to put in two places, it's kind of silly.
Well,
you don't want to have to put it in two places. You want the information to be updated from one place. You want to be able to enter. For example, Cornell Dining has its menu information for the all-you-care-to-eat eateries entered into a system that we pull it out of to display on the website. So you can have the information entered in one place and then automatically displayed in different ways for different audiences.
Cornell has more than one all-you-can-eat place?
Seven?
Wow.
No,
it's
more than that. It's 10. 10 all-you-care-to-eat eateries and 20... other cafes and convenience stores. Cornell's a big place.
Make it to seven.
We have places where you don't on campus, and that's one of the reasons that Cornell Dining is looking at having an app. And one of the things that that you were mentioning a minute ago is a really good idea. And one of the things that we've talked about is being able to use the location, having the phone know where you are, and you don't necessarily know which of those 30 eateries is open right now or what they're serving, mm-hmm. but having a display that shows what is closest to you, what's open right now around me, would be a killer app in the yeah. parlance.
Like, what kind of food do they have at each of these places? Like,
I think you should go to dining.cornell.edu and check out some of our menus. Because we actually have, we have tremendously good food. When I was a student, the food was fine, but it was college dining hall food. Mm-hmm. And the food that is served now is truly some outstanding food.
Wow.
One of the lunches that I had on campus a little over a week ago was so good that it moved me to fill out the online comment card form, which I had created and I received the input from. So it was kind of odd for me to fill out the form and click that send button. But I wanted to let the dining staff know that that was probably the best lunch I'd ever had on campus. And if not the best, it was certainly among the best.
Wow.
It was smoked Gouda macaroni and cheese and Cajun catfish.
Oh my gosh.
And ridiculously good curried vegetable stew. And just such good food. It was delicious. I took photos.
So I'm looking at just one place, the Cookhouse Dining Room, which is one of the all you care to eat dining rooms. At the soup station, you can get cream of tomato soup or chicken and barley soup, house-made dressings and salad bar, linguine with tomato bechamel. I don't even know what that is. I'm not cool enough to know what that is. oven-roasted grape tomatoes and baked chicken, black beans and rice, braised corn, roasted fennel and carrots, fennel, whatever. all this fancy stuff we don't get in Tennessee.
You just threw on the accent real hard for that.
At the grill station, they have beef burgers. That sounds about right. That's college dining hall, right?
You do have the advantage of better barbecue than we get up here.
Probably. North Star's closed.
Well, we're in the middle of February break, so we've
got a February break.
Open. Yes, there is a February break. It's just a long weekend.
Mango curry, lime chicken tenders, and cheese ravioli.
Yes,
wow.
Where's that one?
Do you guys deliver? Like, what is your delivery radius? And can I get some, please?
Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be real nice.
I'll bring you some mango, whatever that was, when I'm next in Albany.
Please do.
Now, you have some pretty good food in downtown Albany, though.
It's interesting. I'm still exploring, so.
Have you been to Yono's yet?
No. What is that? Is that Japanese?
Yono's is a very odd, fancy fusion restaurant off the lobby of the Hampton Inn in downtown Albany.
Oh, no, I have not.
It's a very odd location for it, but it's a celebrity chef decided, I'm going to move to downtown Albany and open a restaurant, and it's fantastic. Jack's mm-hmm. Oyster House is down a couple of blocks from the Times Union Center, has outstanding seafood. And is owned by Cornell alumni.
Nice.
Well, there you go. Now I have to go.
There's the connection. Yes.
See,
now I have to go.
I've decided I'm going to start exploring all of the wonderful food options in Nashville because supposedly we're a foodie city now and we're getting a lot of really great places. So we've instituted a tradition in my office that we've managed to keep alive for 2 weeks. Called Foodie Thursday, where we just go somewhere around the city and that is obscure and cool and try out the food. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
What have you tried so far?
If only there were a product that would allow you to use the internet or, say, your phone to locate interesting food in your vicinity.
Yeah, I think we just hit Yelp and then, spin it and it magically comes up with something. But this lately we've been coming up, the two that we've done this time are ones that we'd heard of and we wanted to try. So the week before last was a place called Otaku South, which is a ramen place, and that was really amazing. And then this last week we went to a place called Biscuit Love, which essentially is a brunch place that serves everything on a biscuit it's kind of multiple, like, spins on biscuit and gravy. So
I would like to go to there.
It was amazing. You can look at my Instagram.
I love biscuits and gravy and fried eggs.
You can see my, if you go to my Instagram, you can see a picture of what I had, which was a Benny, which it had two biscuits, some sausage gravy, shaved country ham. So it was kind of like prosciutto, but it was country ham. And an egg fried on top of it, and it was pretty amazing.
What is your Instagram name, Logan?
Logan B. LOUGANB. So
go check it out, friends.
Go check it out. It's pretty awesome.
Logan.
There'll probably be a link to it on the website.
I see a severe weather alert. Oh no!
Yes, that's Snowmageddon. I forgot what I'm calling it now. You know, the between 3 and
the Southern Benny does look pretty good, though.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. And their fried potatoes were really great, too. So I enjoyed it quite thoroughly.
I went to a new place today that is actually an old place that has just reopened. Ruloff's in College Town is opened back in 1977. And is named for Edward Ruloff, the notorious serial killer whose brain is stored in Cornell's brain collection. Yes, Cornell has a brain collection. It's called the Wilder Brain Collection. And it's brains that are interesting in one way or another. And Ruloff's was one of the largest on record.
Interesting. Serial killers are pretty smart.
Yep, he was a smart serial killer. There are some great quotes about him. But the place used to be known for having the best burgers in town, and for the last several years, they really have not been that great. But I had a burger today that made me very happy, and I had poutine with braised short rib on top. It was fabulous.
Speaking of oddly named things that are French in name, I guess poutine's French, right? I don't know.
That was a really good transition. I applaud
French Canadian, I suppose.
Yes. The founder of Nutella died yesterday.
Oh, dear.
I was very sad about that.
Yes.
I had no idea.
At the age of 83 or something like that, but kind of appropriate that he died on Valentine's Day.
Indeed. That's what most of the internet was commenting on, and it was how appropriate it was for him to die that day.
I wish I knew. I was at a diner today, and I had the option between a s'mores milkshake and a Nutella milkshake, and I went with s'mores, but had I known that he had passed, I would have certainly went with Nutella. That's a little unfortunate.
It was unfortunate that you didn't choose Nutella anyway, but whatever.
I mean, with s'mores, it's chocolatey. I know that Nutella is chocolate hazelnut, but I also get the marshmallow sweetness, and they had graham crackers in it, so I couldn't really go wrong.
That also sounds good.
It was good.
Not as good, but it sounds okay.
Right? So that just means I have to go, like, tomorrow to get the Nutella one.
That's reasonable.
Or, you know, in honor of him passing, obviously.
Obviously.
There's a crepe cart in Ithaca that makes a really good Nutella banana crepe.
Yeah, there's a place called The Perch in Nashville that makes a really good banana Nutella as well. Crepes are awesome, but it's one of those things that we don't have a lot of here.
Can we be a food podcast instead? I like food. I like higher ed, but I really like food.
Well, then I would start be part of a food podcast.
Well, then start a new podcast called Higher Ed Food, and then you can talk about all of the dining options across the country.
We
at
could.
Universities.
See you, Logan.
Jackie,
I'm going to make a podcast with Mark. Higher Ed Eats, guys. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to us.
Brilliant.
Higher Ed.eats. Nom, nom, nom.
Why
dot? Our mascot will be Cookie Monster. And
pretty
our
sure that's a trademark violation, but we'll go
just
for
be,
it.
Go, whatever. And our intro music is just going to be someone chewing. That's going to be the intro.
You know what's funny is that one of the original
irritate some of our listeners.
They're going to have to deal with it. It's Higher Ed Eats. Well, Higher Ed Eats is going to be a great podcast. So stay tuned, listeners. Maybe that'll be like our special, like once a month or something. We do Higher Ed Eats,
and we're going to have to eat while we record it.
Yes, I think that is a requirement.
We're going to cook things and we're going to eat things while we record the podcast.
Well, today I made Hawaiian barbecue in my crock pot.
Did you get the Campbell's thing again?
Yes, I got the Campbell's thing again.
That's not cool anymore, Logan.
The Campbell's thing.
So Campbell's
makes
like sauces, essentially, with different types of flavors. So there's like Mexican beef and Hawaiian pork and Asian bulgogi, whatever. And you literally just get the meat and then you pour the packet of sauce and then you just throw it in a crock pot. There's like no cooking involved. It's just like put two things together in a crock pot and deal with it. And so Logan kind of paints himself as this big chef by being like, I made Hawaiian pork today. But it's like, no, you combine chuck and this Campbell's packet.
But that's okay.
Which I admit I used to. I actually just ate mine tonight for dinner.
I made pulled pork last weekend in my crock pot that was outstanding and did not involve a lot more effort than that. It was half a beer and molasses and some Worcestershire sauce and there was one other thing. But it was delicious.
You know, you should give us that recipe. We'll put it on the show.
Yeah, we'll put it
I
up.
I just did.
Oh, well,
that's
you know.
The whole recipe. Half a beer.
Right.
Half a beer, well, it was half some syrupy beer. Stuff, and something else.
Did you only pour in half a beer because you accidentally drank the first half, or is it really only half a beer?
I poured in half the beer because crock pots don't need much liquid, and I poured the other half in the batch of chili that I was making.
Ooh.
Which was also outstanding, and I can give you the recipe for that as well.
Really should have Higher Ed Eats. This is starting to sound like a great idea.
We already do.
Ta-da, ta-da. Yeah. On this episode of Higher Ed Eats, we have Logan Bishop.
Well,
hey, Logan.
How about we do it every ninth podcast?
And we have to be careful never to record it on an empty stomach.
Exactly.
Wow. Really. I don't think we've talked about food before.
No, this is the longest I've...
because you've never invited me on the show before. This kind of happens when I'm around. It's not avoidable.
So, Mark, do you prefer food photography or food journalism?
I combine the two. I do both without... I have to pick one?
That's why I asked you, because you do both.
As long as I get to eat the result, I'm okay with either one. I think food journalism has to include food photography.
That's true.
You can't really do a good restaurant review without providing a little food porn to go with it. In fact, there's some food porn for you two right now if you click that link.
Ooh, we just got a link, a special link, which we will totally include in our podcast.
Hopefully. You kind of have to.
Social. Oh, wow.
What am I looking at?
The first degree burger.
That is Ruloff's first degree burger.
Oh.
And that was with tomato jam. I added the caramelized onions. It had melted cheddar. Nice, sharp New York State cheddar.
Oh,
that
man.
Was excellent, excellent burger. I was saying that they used to be known for having the best burger in town. They might be in contention again for that.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to have to – I don't even know how I'm going to be able to do this Higher Ed Eats thing because I already ate dinner and now I'm hungry looking at that picture. So this is going to be quite the challenge. I might
That's
need to
the other
start
thing that happens
like
when I'm around.
Higher Ed Fit podcast so that I work out after I eat extravagant things like that.
You can borrow a couple of pit bulls and take them on nice long walks.
I can do
they
that.
They are very good exercise, let me tell you.
I'll have to start. Well, I've been dying to start running outside, which has been frustrating because it's been so cold up here and so miserable. So hopefully the weather will break in a week or so or a couple weeks that I can get outside and run because treadmills are miserable.
Yes, they are.
Absolutely. You should find some other indoor spots.
Yeah, I need to, I think I'm going to try to, there's like 1,000 colleges around here in Albany, so I feel like one of them will let me in to an indoor track, so that's the goal.
Either that or run up and down the aisles of the Times Union Center.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yep. That would be tiring.
That would be.
But you can work your way up to where you're doing every single aisle of the Times Union Center.
I'm actually participating in a fundraiser for cystic fibrosis research, and it is a stair climb, and I am on a team of there's a total of 4 of us, and between the 4 of us we have to climb 42 flights of stairs in like a relay challenge.
Wow.
So I will be, my legs are going to just get big all of a sudden, I think.
How much time do you have to do that?
It's timed in a sense of like a half marathon is timed type of thing. Like you just do it. But I was, you know, talking with my team and I don't know how long that should take me. Like, you know, I know that like running a 7-minute mile is really great and running a 12-minute mile is kind of slow, but like how long does it take to climb up a flight of stairs if I'm like really trying? Like, I've never like really had to run up some like a series of flights of stairs before in any situation, and let alone time myself. So I really have no idea how long that should take me at all.
Time to start practicing.
Yeah. And so I actually have been at work because we have 4 flights that I can run up, but it gets kind of cold as you go up to the top and kind of creepy. So I kind of avoid the last floor, but I've been practicing and it's tough. My quads are like, whoa, hello, good morning. So I got a stair climb, do the stair climber at the gym.
My last job, I was on the 7th floor of a building. Mm. I walked up a couple of times, but that was pushing it.
Our buildings all have parking garages underneath, or at least for the most part, the new ones. And I park on usually the 2nd level down from the top, and I need to get up to the 2nd floor. So I climb up about 4 stories to get up to the crossover to my building. So I've been trying to do that more and more because I'm training for a half marathon. So
good luck.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah. So it's so hard to stay active. And now that I'm off a college campus and in an office, I find myself not even walking like half as much as I used to. Because I, you know, when you're on a college campus, you're walking to meetings and you're walking to the dining hall, whatever, especially if you're on a big one. I was only in one building, but now everyone in my office is like within shouting distance, really. So I get up to like go to the bathroom, and that's maybe like 20 steps total or something during the day. It's so bizarre to like be sitting all day.
Well, I find myself having to get up and go out and walk around campus just to get some exercise, because I live in a basement and it's pretty dark and there are no windows. So just for my sanity, people always seem amazed when I say, yeah, I'll come to your office for a meeting. but a lot of it's that. I have to get out of the dungeon, as I like to call it.
That's
it's
good hot. Motivation to get moving.
Yeah, it's hot down there, and it's very dark and full of fluorescent light.
Ooh.
Our office is on the ground floor of one of the freshman residence halls on campus, so I get to...
That's interesting.
It's a little surreal. I get to walk past the laundry room on the way to the men's room and see all the freshmen doing their laundry.
And that's very interesting.
It can get weird.
It can. I've been in that situation before. It's kind of awkward.
Is your department the only department that's in the freshman residence hall?
No. Since I work for Campus Life, we actually have a lot of our offices in either residence halls or community center buildings. One thing that the Campus Life folks discovered a number of years ago, after they were asked for the nth time to move out of a building that someone else had discovered a new academic use for, is that if we put our offices in buildings that we own, no one can kick us out. So we have office space in Balch Hall and Dixon Hall. Those are two of the biggies. We have much less office space in the administrative buildings these days. But we have a lot of offices in the community centers. Cornell Catering's office is in Robert Purcell Community Center, which is one of the two big community center buildings or student unions on North Campus, which is where all the freshmen are. And Cornell Dining's offices are actually right next door to us in Dixon Hall.
That's cool.
So I get to walk next door and say hi to the dining folks.
I live in the basement of an academic building right next to recording studios, so that's fun.
Probably pretty well soundproofed, at least.
Yes, it is, actually. I can actually turn up my music quite loud, and no one hears it.
Wow. Now I work in one building, one office. We don't really renovate so much as just add stuff, which is kind of cool. But
it's a little harder to go ask donors for millions of dollars for your building when you're not in higher education.
Yeah, but we don't really need it right now. We're small. Our office is big comparatively. It's comfortable.
So you have room to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been a cool, you know, it's cool. There were renovations going on at GCC right before I left, so that'll be interesting to see how that pans out. But they were building 2 new buildings. So that'll make it interesting, especially from, you know, the perspective of Genesee Community College's main campus is one large building. So they're adding kind of another building that like connects with a bridge and then an addition to our event center, which is kind of cool. So even one building campuses can grow, but
sure,
changing all the time.
Cornell started with one building.
Yep.
It's now enormous.
Mm-hmm.
Belmont started with one mansion and then grew from there.
But now, it doesn't have more dining halls.
They've turned the mansion into a historical museum. So it's been restored to its 1800s glory. So it's very nice. It's funny because it connects to one of the administrative buildings, and the mansion folks use the restrooms in that building. So they have a door open that goes straight into the mansion. So you're walking through this administrative building, and then you look through this door and you see 1800s, and it's like a time portal. It's pretty cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Have you found the secret tunnel yet?
We have secret tunnels, yes, apparently. But I haven't gone through them.
I think it would be about time.
Yeah.
I don't think they let you go through them.
It's like a tunnel through, it's like a time traveling tunnel.
Yeah, there's supposedly.
Next episode, we want you to walk your laptop through your secret tunnel. I'll walk my laptop through our secret tunnel. Jack, you can find the secret tunnels under the Times Union Center.
Actually, I can, there's actually a secret tunnel that goes between two residence halls. It's not really that much of a secret. And unfortunately, I'm not a student that lives in those. So my ID doesn't let me through. So.
And if it did, that would be kind of weird.
Yeah. It'd be awkward, just a little.
It's totally not a secret if it has like an ID reader on the outside of it. Like, there were secret things at my alma mater, like secret tunnels and things, but no one really knew where they were. Like, it wasn't a public knowledge. Definitely no ID scanners at the front of it.
Cornell has lots of tunnels that they don't really want us to know about.
They've got to be there for like, I mean, the ones at Geneseo apparently were for like safety and like bomb shelters and stuff like that that were built a while ago. But I don't know. Rumors fly. So I don't know.
I were Russians, I would bomb Geneseo.
Hey, it's like a big deal. It's a huge deal, obviously.
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 And clearly only Russians are going to bomb Geneseo.
Well, they're the only people with nuclear weapons at that point. So
that is a good point. Well, kept us safe.
Well, that's actually, with that, that's about as much time as we have for this episode. That went by
fast.
Now that
we've gone from burgers to nuclear weapons.
Yeah, that ended on a really positive note.
Yay!
Woohoo!
So don't forget to hit the subscribe button on iTunes if you haven't already. You can also get information from all the things we talked about on the podcast on the website, highered.social. Oh, if you really like the show, leave a review.
Do that.
Because the only review we have is Jackie's mom, and woohoo! We love Jackie's mom.
Thanks, Mom.
But,
hi, Mom.
You know.
Yeah, she listens to everything, and even though my mom is not involved in higher ed in any way, aside from the fact that she had two kids that went to college, she still enjoys the show. So, if you're listening, Mom, thanks a lot. If you're listening, Dad, come on! But I want all of you listeners to be my favorite listeners and leave us a review.
Thanks.